It is again with thankful heart that I welcome you to our broadcast today, and I do so as always in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, desiring that above all else that God be glorified in all that we do. And thus we look for every opportunity to exalt Jesus Christ as Lord. And it's always a delight to open the Word of God, for these are they which testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we recognize, and well, Jesus pointed it out in his earthly ministry, that there people put much into the way of ritual reading, ritual prayer, and just the outward trappings of religion. And the Pharisees of our Lord's day were surely experts in the Word of God, that is, in the Scriptures. Now, what they failed to see was what was seen by many of the prophets. The Spirit of Christ, which was in them, testified of those things that were coming to pass in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Pharisees of Jesus' day, when they would, of course, make much of their expertise and then try to be very authoritative and restrictive as far as the people were concerned, Jesus said to them on one occasion, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me." And of course, what they failed to see was the truth that we clearly know now, that is, we who know the Lord, that the Old Testament Scriptures were pointing to the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of the types and shadows, all of the prophecies, all from the very time of creation itself, and especially from the fall, there was that expectation of a Redeemer to come into the world. And so the expectation was there, looking to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament Scriptures point back to the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, because therein was God revealed. Therein was salvation accomplished. Therein was truly God glorified in what Jesus Christ accomplished. And thus we would always seek to honor him, that is, to honor God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and that we would thus understand them as one God in three persons, and all as revealed to us, essential in accomplishing that salvation. God the Father decreed it. God the Son procured it. And God the Holy Spirit has applied it. And so we delight to declare unto you the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the only hope of mankind. The Pharisees proved that religion simply would not do it. It would not accomplish what man wanted to do. And thus man has gone on in his own willful way, continues to do so even today, and failing miserably on every hand. But we point you to Jesus, crucified, that is, dying in the stead of his people, paying the just penalty for their sins, his soul being made an offering for sin, but he is crucified, he is risen. He rose from the dead, victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and has that life which we must have. And even so, the Son quickeneth whomsoever he wills, and he is coming again. And he will come with 10,000s of his saints. He will come, and the world will stand in awe. They will, the unregenerate will be horrified at what they see. The Lord's people that are alive at that time will absolutely be rejoiced in all, and God will above all else be glorified. And that is ever our aim. I want to take you to a passage of Scripture in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, as a matter of fact, and I love to read the Psalms. I love to hear the Psalms preached. I love to preach from the Psalms. And I'm going to take you to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And I want to read there the first seven verses. Now, some of the Psalms have preserved for us titles. And this is one of them. And the title that is given in our King James Version is that it is a Psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. And so that being said, then David, in reflection on what had happened to him just at that time, wrote these words, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them." And we're going to, and let me just go read one more verse, and I may return to it in a subsequent message. But then he said, "Oh, taste the Lord and see that the Lord is good." Let me read it again. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." And there are many divisions in the psalm, and there's several more verses. It goes on declaring several aspects. There are several calls to submit to the Lord in all that we do. But we'll end the reading there. May God bless the reading of his word, and may it all redound to his honor and glory. And looking to this, then, we understand that there is prayer recorded here. And then from originating out of that prayer, there is praise. And so we read the praise first, but then we understand that he had prayed. And we see that which is brought to pass in David as a result of that. And so I would title this Praise Arising from Prayer. And this is one of those things, as so often happens, men will begin to pray, lay their needs out before the Lord, perhaps be in great desperation, but in consideration of the fact that true prayer brings us into the presence of God, into a conscious presence of God, a sense of being standing before God, of being in awe of him, of all the greatness of his majesty, of seeing him in his beauty, that is his holiness, and understanding that great is our God and greatly to be praised. And even in the most dire circumstances, when God's people are brought in contact with God, they cannot help but truly praise him and desire to honor him in all that they do. And so my aim is that we should pray in such a fashion here that we emerge from prayer in a way of praise and of sharing the joys of salvation. And sadly, so many go about claiming to be saved and are of a sad countenance and seem to be somewhat masters of gloom and doom and thinking the worst and all of that. And yet to the child of God, everything speaks to us of hope. Everything in that pertains to God is a reason for praise. And in all that he does, he is doing it. First of all, it's according to his will. He does so in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And then secondly, he is making all things work together for good. to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so, once again, we are made to rejoice even as we think on these things. So we will learn much from the life of David as we follow not only the historical account in the writings of Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, but also as we read the testimony that often emerged from his heart. And so there's much about David that we can read the history of his actions. Some of his feelings are expressed or are analyzed. But then as we read the Psalms, these are the outpourings of the heart of David. And thus we would not only learn more about David, but David also as a type of Christ, and quite often even the scriptures, the New Testament scriptures, will remind us that the Spirit of Christ was in these men of old, and quite often we learn truths concerning the Lord Jesus Christ through that which David expresses. A classic example of that is Psalm 22, and we would be immediately familiar because the opening words of Psalm 22, a psalm of David, is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You say, wait a minute, that's what Jesus said from the cross. And that's what David, what was being prophesied through David from 1,000 years before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we value these things as we see them. And here again, it comes back to something I said in my introductory remarks, that we're always looking for revelations from the Lord Jesus Christ, revelations of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever we are in the scriptures. We don't force the meaning of scripture, but we look for it and we recognize that all of it is moving toward that end of Christ coming into the world and then ultimately of his coming again to bring all things into reconciliation to himself. And this we look forward to with great joy and pray with John in the book of Revelation, even so come, Lord Jesus. So we learn these things from David's life and from his expressions. So we read this, the psalm is understood here to have been written on the occasion of David changing his behavior before Achish. And the word Abimelech, that's another word for like a king, like it was the Pharaoh in Egypt, and but the Abimelechs in Philistia. And so with what had happened is that David was in flight from Saul. And in desperation, he actually crossed over into the land of the Philistines, thinking that he might find refuge there. And of course, people remembered, even the among the Philistines, remembered that David had been quite the hero in past battles against the Philistines. And they were aware even of the cry that went up out of Israel that provoked Saul to hate David, that Saul has killed his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. And so there was, it was an uneasy situation. Some have questioned as to whether the actions of David that put him in this bad situation were justified, but his humility and prayer culminates here in hearty praise and exhortation to exalt the Lord. David doesn't try to justify his actions. It seems that he realized. And so what he actually did was that when he sensed the fact that the Philistines were not going to be exactly welcoming to him on this occasion, there'd be another time that he would go into the land of the Philistines and they would accept him conditionally, but here he realized that things were uncertain. And so what he did, he feigned insanity. He just acted like a crazy man. He would froth at, he'd cause himself to froth at the mouth. The spittle would run down on his beard. And so they thought he had an evil spirit within him, and they didn't want anything to do with him, and they didn't want to kill him, but they wanted him away from them. And so it was through that then that he was expelled from the land. So that brings us to that situation where David is given occasion to recognize the fact that he had been in mortal danger and that the Lord had actually delivered him from out of that. Praise is always in order, and praise is comely in any circumstance. Now, that word comely, I picked that up from the scriptures, although it is a good word, and it just simply means that it's fitting. And I've heard people comment on the way somebody is dressed, and they'd say something about, well, your outfit is very becoming. Basically, what they were saying, just to put it in simple term, is that sure does look good on you. And a preacher friend remarked on one occasion that he had preached, he had sought to obviously to glorify the Lord, not having any thought of anything great within himself. But then a preacher, a friend who had witnessed that, he said, made this statement to him. He said, Jesus sure did look good on you tonight. And that is such a precious thought. Listen again, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise looks good on the Lord's people. That's from Psalm 33, verse 1. And again, in Psalm 147, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. It looks good on God's people. You be praising the Lord, it fits. If indeed you know the Lord, you love the Lord, if He's the Savior of your soul, if He is the object of your affections, if He is one to whom you esteem all praise and honor is worthy, then praise, that praise is going to look good on you. So fervent prayer and humiliation in the presence of the Lord yields, in other words, it'll bring forth the precious delight of praise and adoration for the Lord and the God-honoring desire that others should join with you in it. And so David will, he says it in this quite in simply this way. And I read to you verse 8, in which he says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And then there is in verse 11, "Come ye children," and I want you to hear it. I want you to understand it. And so in any event, it is, he sets before us a pattern for praise. First, there is in David a personal resolve to praise, and it seems that he would act independent of the thoughts of others. And so, as when he says this, "I will bless the Lord at all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth." Not necessarily a challenge, but rather something beyond merely an occasional mention. And so, in other words, it is that which he felt it was necessary to be verbally expressed. And I've known people that go about, and I wouldn't have known they were a believer, and then say something to them, "Oh yeah, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been saved for so many years, and I try to serve the Lord." I'm sorry that Christ said that the Spirit of God in us would be like a well bubbling up from inside, and that which bubbles up sort of bubbles out. And this was exactly what David was doing. And so we think of warnings in other places as to how we ought to employ our tongues. People are quick to criticize. They're quick to find fault. They're quick to gossip. And yet our tongues should be employed on the praise of our Lord, leaving no room for slander and gossip and the things of this present world. These are then, and listen to the second verse, and I love this thought, because David sometimes talks to himself, and he sees that he is body and soul, and some would go ahead and talk about body, soul, and spirit, and that's another message or another thought for another time. But my being, in the depths of my being, my soul, that part of me which is redeemed of the Lord, that part of me which knows the Lord and loves the Lord, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And then adds this, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And so, on the one hand, boasting, it never looks good on anybody if they are boasting about themselves. And many certainly like to extol their virtues. Not only that, I've seen people that spend an awful lot of time bragging about someone else, something else. But what a wonderful situation it is here that my soul shall make her boast in thee. It's not, and again, I've listened to people talk about, well, I'm glad I trusted the Lord. I'm glad I did this. And I do this for the Lord, and I do that for the Lord, and I do the other for the Lord. And I'm going to say this without fear of contradiction. You haven't done anything for the Lord. What do you have that was not given unto you? If you've spoken for the Lord, He gave you your voice. If it's your desire to speak for the Lord, He gave you a new heart. And so we can see all of those things. So David is certainly glad. He is certainly rejoicing. He wants it to be known, but his boasting is of what the Lord has done. And it is that which is set forth in such a way that anybody seeing it and understanding it knows that it's not of them. I've had people say to me, "Preacher, I trust you. You're a good man." And I've got to cry out against that every time I have them. I'm not good. There's only one good. And Jesus would have us ever to know that and to declare the praises of our God. There's a natural propensity in man to brag, but it's often an irritation to the unregenerate, but it's a powerful witness to some as to the person, the attributes, and the workings of the Lord, the things that are true about Him, and what He has done, what He is doing, of His mercy and His grace, and of the covenant in which He assures the salvation of those who come to Him. We tend to talk of that which is most important and precious to us. And I've listened to that. I've heard people get together, "Hey, you been hunting lately? Yeah, I did this. Whoa, I found this. And wow, I really got into it," and so on and so forth. Well, you know how that goes. But in any event, it's whatever's important to you. That's what you'll be most inclined to talk about. And so that thought is of the people, and he said the humble hear it gladly. They want to hear about it. C.H. Spurgeon wrote that the confident expressions of tried believers are a rich solace to their brethren of less experience. In other words, if the Lord has truly blessed you in something, use it as an occasion to praise the Lord. He's delivered you from something, praise the Lord for it. Somebody might not have experienced it, but they see it in you, and it even prepares them for what might be in store for them. So the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And so the desire for others to share in such adulation. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. This I would always have anytime that I preach the gospel, even as I preach just now. If you don't understand it, I want the Lord to be praised. I want to magnify the Lord. I'm trying to do that. And by the power of the Spirit, I will. I can't do it of myself, but I want you to do it too. I want you to catch that. I want you to delight in it. And so, thus is the beginning of praise. And here's where it started. David said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And I think this to be the people that were with him, looked unto him, and they were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Again, in verse 6 of this psalm, he said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. David sensed some real danger, and yet we're not given all the details of David's prayer in this instance, only that he sought the Lord. And this is what it is all about. Get to the Lord first in prayer. The Lord knows even before we ask what we have need of. It doesn't mean that we should not spell out what it is that we would have of him. But the first thing that you must do, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. It doesn't say start talking about your burdens. Come unto me. And let us come boldly unto a throne of grace. And this we would always be about the way of doing. So two things are the inevitable result. Fears are taken away, and the cause of fears is taken away. And so as we look at this, that they, first of all, that he saved him out of all of his troubles. And so this they understood. And then we read, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and deliver him. So two things are dealt with. Take away the cause of the fear, take away the fear. And thus that assurance is given. David realized that his case was not unique, that such was the delight of all who looked upon him. They were lightened at seeing him, and seeing in him light, life, liberty, love, all in the crucified one. They see it in Jesus Christ. That's where we see it. That's where we understand it. We're left with no cause of shame, and we are the rather emboldened in him. This poor man, a proper assessment of ourselves as we look to what we are in comparison to him. And thus the Lord heard him as the desperate cry of one of his own, and he saved him with a comprehensive salvation. Now, what do I mean? Not only did he save his soul from hell, but he saved him unto himself. He saved him unto the service of the Lord. He gave to him an assured presence of himself. And so it is with all those who fear the Lord. Oh, my friend, it is my desire that you would magnify the Lord with me, and that if you do not know him, that you would fall upon his mercy and look to him who is able to give such rejoicing. Confess yourself to be a poor man without ability, and then fall upon the mercies of our Lord and our God.
Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry.
Thank you for listening. It's our delight to bring the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace to you. These broadcasts are also posted on our website at www.riversidebaptistchurchwv.org. We're the Riverside Baptist Church. Cordially invite you to attend our services at 10 and 11 on Sunday and at 6:30 on Wednesday. We're grateful for the support of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Gallagher, West Virginia. Their services are at 10:30 and 6 on Sunday. And now may the Lord bless you is our prayer.
Hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry him now, while on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by, while on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by.